please put phones on vibrate? And if you don't know how to do that, ask your neighbor and they'll tell you. Nice to see you. So this is a meditation on Shivasana. This is April 3rd, 2013 in Indiana. So, of course, this is one of our Mahamantras, our Panchatattva Mahamantra. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasa Yudhavara Bhaktavinoda. So there, of course, is Srivas Thakur. So the Panchatattva, in one sense, this is a Chintaveda Vedatattva, in one sense, Panchatattva is all one, and yet they are the Lord in different manifestations, different moods. And Shivas Thakur is representing the jiva as the devotee who is the jiva. And Krishnadas Kaviraj says that Shivas Thakur is the foremost devotee. Of course, we may hear this about many different devotees. We hear that Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnava. Of course, we hear that Srimati Radharani is the greatest Vaishnava. Sometimes we hear Prahlad Maharaj is the greatest Vaishnava. In fact, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami is going through, this devotee has received the mercy of the Lord. No, this devotee has received more mercy. This devotee has received more mercy. But still, we can say that among the followers of the Lord in his mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srivas Thakur is the foremost among all the devotees. So Srivas Thakur appeared as one of the elders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He and his wife, Malini, came to worship the Lord upon his appearance. So they were at the level of Mahaprabhu's parents. And here's something about Srivas Thakur's identity. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that he's an incarnation of Narada Muni, and his brother is an incarnation of Narada Muni's friend Parvati, and his wife, an incarnation of the nurse Nubika, who fed Lord Krishna with her breast milk, and his niece Narayani was the sister of Ambika. And then Srivas, Pandit Srivas Thakur, lived in Navadvip when Mahaprabhu had his pastimes in Navadvip, and when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moved to Jagannath Puri, Srivas Thakur moved to Kormahatta because he felt too difficult to be in Navadvip without the Lord. And Krishnadas Kaviraj also describes this whole presentation basically is his quotes from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj describes that Srivas Thakur and Dvaita Prabhu were the main supporters of Mahaprabhu's movement, these two chief householder disciples. Sometimes devotees say, well, what can we do in the householder ashram? But actually in Mahaprabhu's movement, when he was present on the earth, so many of his devotees and chief devotees were in the householder ashram. And Srivas Thakur, not only was he performing kirtan in Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially had kirtans every night in the house of Srivas Thakur, but after Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, Srivas Thakur would continue these kirtans in Kormahatta, and there it was described that Mahaprabhu would personally come. And Srivas Thakur could see him, and everyone else could feel his presence. So sometimes we find, even today, devotees who are so absorbed in kirtan that you can feel the presence of the Lord in the kirtan, isn't it? Just like we also say that the Lord is present in the Bhagavatam. So one time I had the pleasure to attend a Bhagavatam class from Radhika Mahaprabhu. Any of you familiar with Radhika? He was born in the movement. He got his PhD in Jiva Goswami from Oxford when he was 22 years old. So he was giving a class in the Bhagavatam in Italy, I believe. And not that many people attended, because, you know, he's a young man, he's not some big sannyasi or anything. Nobody recorded the class, but Krishna certainly manifested in the Bhagavatam when he was speaking. I felt like he was walking around the room. So if a person has the proper devotion and mood, then a Krishna manifests, just like Krishna manifests in deity, Krishna manifests in painting, Krishna manifests in his holy name, Krishna manifests in the Bhagavatam, according to the degree of one's devotion and love. I mean, even we're like that, right? If somebody wants to get to know us, we have to trust them. Yes? We don't manifest our full personality to someone unless we feel that they're going to want to do good for us. All right, so we're going to look first at this pastime. I picked a certain leelas in relationship to Srivast Thakur. There are many more, but I just picked some. So the first one is the 21 hours of ecstasy. So this was in the house of Srivast Thakur. Again, Mahaprabhu would come there every night in Navadvip to perform his kirtans. And at one time, when Mahaprabhu came, Srivast Thakur did a whole abhishek for the Lord. And then the Lord sat down and exhibited his transcendental opulence. He showed that he was Vishnu. Generally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited himself in the mood of a devotee. Generally, he acted as if he were a jiva who was a devotee of Krishna. I mean, he did some rather extraordinary things, like being in seven kirtan groups at once, and he had some rather extraordinary ecstasies where his joints would separate by 8 inches, and another one where he withdrew into his torso like a turtle and things like that, which obviously ordinary jivas cannot do. But generally he was portraying himself as a jiva who was a devotee of the Lord. And he didn't even like to be called Krishna or Vishnu because that would disturb his mood. His purpose as incarnating as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to taste the ecstasy of the devotee. What is it like to be the devotee, especially the supreme devotee, Srimati Radharani? But sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually exhibited that he was Vishnu. So this was one such time. He was showing the opulence of Vishnu and receiving worship as Vishnu. So there were many different leelas that happened at this time. I really like the story of Kulavicha Sridhar. So Kulavicha Sridhar was a very poor man. He lived in a hut that had holes in the roof, and he made his living selling cups made out of banana leaves. So you just imagine anybody can pick, you know, in Navadvip, getting a banana leaf is something that's available to everyone. I mean, I was staying at someone's house in Chennai recently, and they had a lot of banana trees in their yard, and whenever it was time for a meal, they would just go out and pick their plates off the trees. And finish the disposable plate industry. But to make the cups out of the leaves, you have to fold them a certain way, and then you have to kind of sew them together with little twigs. So it takes a little bit of work, and people have always been willing to pay something for convenience. So he would sell these banana leaf cups. He would also sell squash, and that's not a drink. I know in the UK they have a soda that's called squash, but now they like gourds, something like pumpkins. So he would also sell those. Now, you're not going to make a whole lot of money selling things like that, and of course he didn't. He was a very poor man, but he was a very happy man. And he used half of his wealth for his daily worship of the Ganga. He lived right next to the Ganga. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a young boy, he would come to Kulavicha Sridhar's little stall. I don't think he was wealthy enough even to have a shop. Maybe he just had a table or a cloth or something like that. And Mahaprabhu would bargain with him, so the prices were already very low, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bargain to try to get the lowest possible price. So when Mahaprabhu was displaying his opulence as Vishnu, he's giving benedictions to everyone. And most of the devotees are saying, please give me prema, or please give my auntie prema, or something like that. And then finally Mahaprabhu said, bring Sridhar, bring Sridhar. Now, who is this Sridhar? What's he asking for? Oh, the banana leaf seller. Bring him. So they brought him. And then Mahaprabhu said, I want to give you something. So we all enjoy giving, yes? Everybody enjoys giving gifts? Very pleasurable. Actually, Lord Nrsingadev tells Prahlad Maharaj that it's his benediction, and that it's his pastime to give benedictions, and he enjoys giving benedictions. And we also enjoy. Yes? This is pleasurable. So the Lord likes to give. Please don't think that because Krishna is the supreme enjoyer that he's just a taker. He's the supreme giver. He gives a lot more than we give. It's our sanatana dharma to give. It's also his giving. It's actually very unequal. Suppose I give everything to Krishna. What's my everything? Not much. But then guess what Krishna gives back to me? He gives everything back to me. So that's not very even, is it? So Krishna is much more of a giver. Krishna gives even to the atheists and the demons. As Jesus said, he makes the sun and the rain on the just and the unjust. It's not that when you're walking down the street with sinful people, they don't get you sunshine. They don't get any rain in your garden. Not like that. So anyway, the Lord enjoys giving benedictions, and he says, I want to give you something. And Sridhar said, but I don't want anything. Has that ever happened to you? Somebody comes to you and says, I want to give you something, and you're like, I don't want anything. He was like that. I don't want anything. And Mahaprabhu said, well, I'd like to give you something. What about the eight mystic perfections? So most people would like that. I mean, I remember when I was a little kid in school, I used to think, if only I could become invisible and fly, I would fly out the window and go to the beach. And the teacher wouldn't know. So generally, if we were offered these mystic powers, we would take them, yes. Just put out your hand and whatever you like. I would like a cheesecake. Okay? Pretty cool. And he said, would you like these eight mystic perfections? And Sridhar said, no, thank you. What would I do with them? I remember he was very, very poor. His roof had holes in it. He drank out of an old iron pot with rusted out holes in it. You know, if I lived like that and God came to me and said, what would you like? I'd say, well, I'd like a new roof, I'd like a new pot, I'd like it, right? He said, I don't even want the mystic perfections. And then Mahaprabhu said, what about rulership over a planet? No, it's okay, I don't want that. What do you want? I had to give you something. He said, well, if you want to give me something, then I would like the birth after birth, that I will sell banana leaf cups and the beautiful boy Nimai will come and argue with me over the price. So just, we can just try to imagine perhaps, and maybe we have some experience, how wonderful this bhakti must be. How wonderful must it be that when you have that, nothing else is important. Because I mean, you already have everything. Prabhupada said when you have, you know, 1,000 euros, of course you didn't say euros then, but then all of your 10-euro problems are solved. So the reason the devotee doesn't want anything is because they already have everything. It's not that the devotee doesn't want anything because they're just some sort of a dry renunciate. I don't care about anything. But they already have everything. They have everything you could get by having rulership over a planet and all the mystic opulences and fabulous wealth and all these things that everybody wants in the world. All the benefits that one gets from them, the devotee has that from bhakti. So what must bhakti be? What taste must there be in bhakti that from some relationship with the Lord, one feels completely satisfied? So Mahagupta was a devotee of Lord Ramachandra, and I find it fascinating that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would often tell those who worship Lord Ramachandra to worship Krishna. And often they would. But for some of them, he would tell them to worship Krishna and they wouldn't. And he'd say, yes, it's wonderful that you're worshiping Lord Ramachandra. So Rupa Goswami explains that every rasa is perfect for that jiva. So every soul has a particular way they want to relate with the Lord. And that way is perfect and satisfying for that jiva. You can look from a certain perspective and say worship of Krishna is higher. Akila rasa murti, that Krishna involves all the rasas, whereas Krishna's other forms do not.
and then among the rasas, the conjugal rasas, the highest, and among the conjugal rasas, the pariki rasas, the highest, so forth, so on and so on. But the devotee doesn't feel like that. The devotee feels, whatever I'm doing, that is the best. And the Lord very much honors and loves that. Also at this time, he asked Advaita Acharya to please explain Bhagavad Gita properly according to bhakti instead of according to mind-body philosophy. He also blessed Mukunda and many other devotees. Okay, now this is a very interesting story about Srinivas Thakur. And this is a particularly interesting story because I think I'm pretty sure that all of us sometimes have people criticize us. Yes? Is there anyone here who never has anybody criticize you? No? Okay. And sometimes we think, you know, if I just like live in a little hole and nobody ever sees me, that nobody will criticize me. It doesn't seem to work that way. And in this case, not only criticizing, but actually trying to ruin your reputation. So do we have this happen to us sometimes too? That someone not just criticizes us, but they try to damage our reputation in some way by spreading lies? Who has had this experience at least once in their life? Okay. That's what I thought. So how do we deal with this? How do we usually deal with this? If somebody tells lies about us, and not just telling lies about us sort of randomly, but telling lies about us to the people who count, to try to ruin our reputation, to try to ruin our life, how do we usually respond to this? We want to prove that they're wrong. We fight, huh? We defend ourselves. So let's see what Srinivas Thakur does. Okay, so as you said, Mahaprabhu had his nightly kirtans at the house of Srinivas Thakur. And these were not public kirtans. So the Lord did have public kirtans out on the streets, like going to the house of the Qazi, but these kirtans in the house of Srinivas Thakur were private. So we also, as devotees, right, we have some aspects of our spiritual life are private, that we just discuss with some close associates. Some things we can talk about publicly, and some things are private. So these kirtans, they were for people who were in a particular mood. So the other day I talked about my experience of going to kirtans where everybody was really in a very meditative mood and very much appreciating the kirtan and focusing on the kirtan and trying to come closer to Krishna through the kirtan. And then I also had experiences going to kirtans that were not like that, where people were just sort of wandering in and out of the temple room and, you know, doing whatever. And it's quite a different atmosphere. Of course, it's possible to be absorbed in a kirtan no matter what the atmosphere, but it's a lot more pleasant to be absorbed in a kirtan when everybody around you is also absorbed in the kirtan. And so Mahaprabhu appreciated these nocturnal kirtans where not only was everybody absorbed, but everybody was a very high level of realization. So they were not, it was not an ordinary kirtan. So other people became envious. So this is typical. If you have something private, people say, well, I want it too. So they decided that they were going to punish Srinivas Thakur because these kirtans were taking place in his house. So one of them, Gopal Chapala, he went at night to Srinivas Thakur's door and he put all kinds of paraphernalia outside of it to show that Srinivas Thakur was actually a worshiper of Durga. So that may not mean a whole lot to us, but in that society where Srinivas Thakur was a worshiper of Krishna, to show that he was secretly a worshiper of Durga was a really heavy thing. It meant that all of his friends would reject him, that he wouldn't have any standing in the society. It was a different class of society. So I didn't have time to find a bottle of wine to put in this picture, but you put there all the... There's particular kind of paraphernalia that you use for worshiping Krishna, certain paraphernalia you use for worshiping Shiva, certain paraphernalia you use for worshiping Durga. So that's the kind of paraphernalia that he put there outside the door. Now, of course, you've got to think about this. If you were pretending to be a worshiper of Krishna, but you were secretly worshiping Durga, would you put all the paraphernalia outside your door? It's rather silly, but anyway, that's what he did. So then, Srinivas Thakur comes out in the morning, and what he did is, did you let me like that?
Yes.
I had found this, but that's why I miss Abhishek, because I was doing these fun things. So, because it was nice meditation on Shiva Sakur. Anyway, I wish. So now, if somebody did this to me, I'd probably just try to clean it all up, right? But he didn't. He left it there, and he called for everybody else. You please come. Hey, look, come. See, look at this. Look at this. I'm a worshiper of Durga. I'm worshiping Bhavani. Now I've been revealed. So he did exactly the opposite of our instinctive reaction. Our instinctive reaction, if somebody tells lies about me to make me look bad, is to fight. And he did exactly the opposite. He said, just see, everybody. Now you know what I really am. He advertised it himself. He said, now you can understand that I'm really fallen and I shouldn't be associating with any of you. Now, it's interesting that often, not always, but often when one does that, then other people will defend you. So that's exactly what happened. So the other brahmanas, they defended him, and they cleaned it up. And they said, this is obviously the work of somebody else. Well, it's not a really good idea to harm anybody. Prabhupada said, whenever we harm anybody, we will experience equal harm to that which we do to others. And I mean, you shouldn't harm anybody. We shouldn't even harm little bugs. What to speak if you harm a saintly person? What to speak if you harm a saintly person on the level of Srivas Thakur? So, the person who did this, I was trying to decide how gross of a picture to put here on this side. So, the person who did this, Gopal Chapala, he got leprosy. And he was feeling great pain and agony. So he became deformed and he was experiencing great pain, and then because leprosy is contagious, he left the village, he became an outcast. Now, what's he going to do about this? So first we see what Srivas Thakur does. By the way, you can try this. You can try and experiment and say, for the next 3 days, and I'm picking 3 days because Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests you start with 3 days for different vows. You try, for the next 3 days, I will not defend myself. I mean, if somebody tries to kill you, then please run away. We're not talking about that. But I'm talking about accusations. So, you try. See what happens. And then after 3 days, kind of evaluate, how do I feel? How did that go? Was I able to avoid defending myself? And then you can try it for another 2 weeks. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says 3 days, 1 month, 3 months. But I find generally it's easier to do like 3 days, 1 week, or 3 days, 2 weeks, than 1 month, 2 months. So you can try evaluating and see, what does it feel like not to defend myself? Interesting. And see if you find something that's exciting. What do you find from it? You can let me know next time I come. So here we have another problem. So Srivas Thakur hadn't done anything wrong. And how he responded to that. He just said, see, I've done something. But you don't have to do that. You can try just being silent. You don't have to get into it and say that you've done something wrong. But with Gopal Chapala, he did do something wrong, and now he's suffering for it. So I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but I'm going to assume everyone here has done something wrong at some time in their life. Yes? Okay. I'm sure it was at least 10 years ago, but in any case, if we've done something wrong, how do we respond to that? What do? When we've done something wrong? Now, we don't usually get such an instant and obvious reaction. Yes? Usually when you do something wrong, the reaction is somewhat delayed, and it's not that easy to tell what you're getting a reaction to. But here he's getting a very fast 3 days. Now, I also really wonder about these 3 days. So there's no commentary by any of the acharyas about these 3 days. So this is Anila's philosophical speculation here. But I'm wondering if the 3 days was a little grace period by God, you have a chance to rectify this before you get slammed with your reaction. I mean, in general, reactions are delayed, and definitely one of the reasons is so we can rectify ourselves before we have to suffer. Does that make sense to everybody? Yes? If I break something, I ought to have a chance to go to the person whose thing I broke and say, hey, I broke this, I'll buy you a new one, I'll pay for it, before I have to go to jail. I should have some grace period. So one of the reasons karma is generally delayed is because of grace period. All right, well, he decided if I'm suffering, the best place to go is to God. So he knew that Lord Chaitanya was God, and when Lord Chaitanya came by, he said to him, you're an incarnation of God, please deliver me. He said, I'm like your uncle in the village. So in traditional Indian villages, people would call any older man uncle and any older woman auntie. And you still see this among many of the Indians, that they call the older people uncle and auntie, and they call the younger people nephew and niece. So we found this with the Qazi also. Yes, you know that story? Where the Qazi says, so Lord Chaitanya, you're like my nephew in the village. So Gopal Chapala said, I'm like your uncle. Please be merciful to me. So do we do this when we're suffering? Maybe, huh? We pray to God, please save me. You're merciful, you're merciful. Oh God, you are so merciful. Please be merciful to me. Ah, Lord Chaitanya was not very merciful. And it's interesting because Lord Chaitanya is most merciful, but he wasn't merciful. He said, you're going to have to suffer in hellish life for 10 million births. You're going to suffer for millions of years. Not only will I not do 10 million births is a long time. I mean, not in universal time. But when you're going through it, it's not actually a long time. But it feels like it. Even this life feels like a long time sometimes. That's not really. So that was the Lord's reaction. Why did Lord Chaitanya react like that? Any idea?
To warn us.
To warn us, definitely. Why else do you think Lord Chaitanya reacted like that?
To make a strong statement by that.
Okay, very strong statement. Don't offend devotees. I mean, this was a really bad offense. You know, in the Bible it says there are seven deadly sins that the Lord hates. Six of them the Lord hates, and the seventh the Lord despises. And the seventh is to bear false witness against your neighbor. So according to the Bible, that's a horrible, a deadly sin. To say something false against somebody else to get them in trouble. To bear false witness. It's such an envious thing to do, isn't it? Any other reason you can think of why Lord Chaitanya would take this stance?
Maybe he would apologize to Srivas Thakur.
Yes. So what was wrong with Gopal Chambala's mentality? Yes. He wanted to get relief from the suffering, but he didn't want to change his problem. Do you understand that? He wanted to keep the envy, he wanted to keep the offense, but he just didn't want to suffer from it. So who was asking me about Anartas? Who's the person who's asking me about Anartas? Huh? Is she here? She's not here. Okay, so one of the reasons that we don't get rid of anartas when we ask Krishna to take them away is we're often not asking him to take them away. We're often just asking him to take away the suffering that they give us rather than the anarta itself. Do you follow that? So we're saying, Krishna, I'm going to keep the envy, I just don't want to suffer from it anymore. I want to keep the lust, I just don't want to suffer from it anymore. Let me have the lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion, madness, etc., without any pain. And Krishna says, you can't do that. Kol Chapel is definitely asking for that. He's not saying, Lord, I want to rectify my heart. He's not saying, what a horrible person that I was to do this to somebody else who did nothing to harm me, just simply out of spite and envy to try to hurt somebody else and to try to hurt someone who's so dear to you. Please rectify my bad mentality. See, the way the devotee prays is just the opposite of this. How does the devotee pray? The devotee prays, my dear Lord, I am willing to go on suffering, but purify my heart. It's exactly the opposite. So the devotee prays, my dear Lord, you know, please remove the envy from my heart. Like Prahlad Maharaj is saying, please let within my heart there be no material desires. But whatever I have to suffer from all the material desires and all the envy that I've had for so many years, I'm willing to suffer that. If you have a phone, please put it on vibrate, and if you don't know how to do that, please ask your neighbor and they will show you. So, this is the mood of the devotee, and when the devotee has this mood, then Daibhag, one inherits the kingdom of God just by having this mood. It sounds so simple, huh? It must not be simple. If we get to claim our inheritance of being in the spiritual world just by doing this, then obviously it's a deep thing. So when we're suffering, to say to Krishna, Krishna, however long you want me to suffer, I will suffer. But please purify my heart of the evil that caused me to do whatever it was I did that's bringing about this suffering. And I always think of the analogy here of a misbehaving child. So when a child is misbehaving, you may say, okay, you have to go in the corner for some time. Right? They're taking the toys and throwing them at their little brother. And you say, now you go stand in the corner. So when the children are in the corner, what do they say? I didn't do anything. What else did they say? It was his fault. What else? Yeah, but they usually say it, sorry. When can I get out of the corner? And they'll try to sneak out when you're not looking too. You know, you start getting busy in the kitchen and you turn around and they're not in the corner anymore. Get back in the corner. Right? And I have yet to see a child, when you did this, come up to you and say, Mommy, however long you want me to stand in the corner, that's okay. I know I did something wrong. I just want to learn how to be a nice older brother and treat my little brother fairly, and I'm really sorry I caused him pain, and I'm really sorry I caused you pain. I'll just sit in the corner until you tell me I can get out. I've never heard a child do that. But that's what we would like them to do. That's what the parents are just like hoping. It will not happen, but they're hoping that that's what the child will do. Sometimes when they have to be teenagers, they say such things, but not all. And that's what Krishna wants from us. Krishna wants us to say, however long I have to be in the corner, Lord, that's up to you, but please rectify my behavior. And Gopal Chapla is asking the opposite. He's saying, I'm asking you to rectify my behavior, just get me out of the corner. And so this, of course, made the Lord very angry, as it would make us angry. You know, John says, well, I don't care whether or not I hit my brother, just let me out of the corner. You know, and we'd become angry, yes? We'd say, you nonsense, you're going to have to stay in the corner for an hour. Yeah? Right? So that's exactly what Chaitanya did. But later on, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, when he came back again, to Gulia, and then Gopala Chambal again took shelter of the Lord, but this time he actually asked the Lord, what do I have to do? And then Lord Chaitanya said, you have to ask for the mercy of Srivas Thakur, and he has to be the one who forgives you. So this is also an important principle, that I have to beg forgiveness from the person I've offended. Now, of course, that can be a little complicated, because the person I've offended may have died, or maybe inaccessible in some way. I may have offended somebody in another lifetime, or may not even know whom I've offended. This happened to Mudhoney. That Mudhoney was slave footage. None of he said, I've offended so many people, but I was drunk when I did it, and I don't even know who I've offended. What am I supposed to do? So in cases like that, one is advised to chant the holy name constantly. Lord Nityananda advised Madhai to make a ghat, a bathing area by the Ganges, in order to serve all of the pilgrims. So there are things one can do in those sort of circumstances. And of course, sometimes the other person doesn't forgive you, despite your best efforts. And then again, one is advised to take shelter, constant shelter of the holy name. But one should at least do one's very best to try to rectify it with that person. Now, I should mention, this is kind of important. We're not trying to rectify things with the other person so we can get material closure. You all know what closure means? So we can have everything nice and neat and finished. And because that's part of why we take birth again and again. You know, I've had some problem with somebody, and they owe me karma, and I come back to collect it. Or I owe somebody karma, and I come back to pay it. So that's not what we're advocating here. Karna made this mistake. Do you know the story of Karna in the Mahabharata? So Karna was actually born from royal families, very royal families. His father was a demigod. But he was abandoned at birth, and it was considered that he was the son just simply of servants, and he was not given the respect of royalty, particularly by the Pandavas, which really aggravated him and insulted him. And Duryodhan said, I will make you the king of Anga, and that way Karna became royalty. But the problem was that Duryodhan was an evil man, and then Karna, out of his indebtedness to Duryodhan, felt that he had to serve Duryodhan, and particularly serve Duryodhan by defeating the Pandavas, which sort of fit with what Karna wanted to do anyway, because he didn't like the Pandavas. But he did know that Duryodhan was evil, and as things went on, he knew that Duryodhan was going to be defeated, that Krishna, the Supreme Lord, was going to be victorious. And at this point, Krishna came to Karna and said, my dear Karna, you please forget about Duryodhan and you come with me. And as the oldest son of Kunti, you can even enjoy the whole earth planet. You'll be considered the oldest of the Pandavas. And Karna said, no. He said, I know you're God. I know you're going to win. I know you're on the side of truth. I know Duryodhan's evil, but I owe him a debt. And Krishna said, you've already paid your debt to Duryodhan. Karna had done so many things for Duryodhan. He said, you already paid your debt. He said, no, my only way of paying my debt is either to die fighting for Duryodhan or to kill Arjuna. There's nothing else that will pay back my debt. So Karna chose to pay back a material debt rather than surrender to Krishna. Whereas if one surrenders to Krishna, all of these debts are finished. We do not have to get closure with everybody on a karmic level. And it's not possible, because while you're finished closing some accounts, you'll open new ones. Or somebody will refuse to close the account with you, and you'll just have to come back. It's not that you have to force everybody to close all of your accounts. Does this make sense to everybody? I think of it like playing a game of Monopoly. You all know what Monopoly is? It's a terrible game, by the way. People get really angry when they play it. But it's just like playing Monopoly. So you owe somebody money and they owe you money, but it's all play money. It's not real money. And so you're allowed to quit the game. You don't really have to pay all your debts. Now, if you're going to play the game, you've got to pay your debts. But if you want to quit the game, you don't have to pay your debts. So if you want to quit this karma game and surrender to Krishna, Sarvadharma, Vrichajama, Lekam, Sharma, Vrajahan, Tham, Sahapapaya, Moshri, Shami, Masajam, then debts are cleared. But that doesn't mean that one should intentionally offend people and saying, well, I'm a devotee, I don't have to pay any debts, because that's sinning on the strength of chanting. That's an offense to the holy name, and one shouldn't offend devotees. But even in such instances, it is possible. There's Vasistha, who was very offended by one of his disciples. remember his name? The one with the yajna with Indra. When Vasishtha, there was one disciple, with Vasishtha, who asked Vasishtha, please do a yajna for me. And Vasishtha said, well, I'm going to do a yajna for Indra first. Who was that disciple? What was his name? Do you remember? You don't remember either. Okay. Nini? It starts with an N for sure. Are you sure it's Nini? Okay. So, when Vasishtha went off to do the sacrifice for Indra, Nimi said, well, I don't know if I want to wait. Life is short. I may die by the time my guru comes back. So he engaged somebody else in doing the yajna. And then when Vasishtha came back and he saw that his disciple had already done the yajna, he was very offended. And he cursed his disciple, you're going to have to take birth as a Shudra. But instead, Nimi worshipped the Lord, and he went back to Godhead. You didn't have to take birth as a Shudra. Interesting, isn't it? So Gopal Chapala went to Srivast Thakur, and Srivast Thakur, of course, forgave him. So we should also be like that. If somebody offends us, we should be forgiving, not that let you suffer. You made me suffer, let you suffer. That's demoniac. So we have some very nice lessons from this. What to do when somebody tells lies about us, what to do when we're suffering, what to do when somebody asks us for forgiveness. All right, this is another kind of heavy story. Sorry about this. Maybe I should pick different ones anyway. So again, there was this kirtan going on every night in Srivast Thakur's house, and one of his sons, who had been sick, died in the middle of the kirtan. So just imagine that. We're having a kirtan here in the temple, and everybody's dancing. So Srivast Thakur said to everybody, no crying. Nobody crying. Of course they told him, he probably went like in the back room. And he said, nobody crying. This is Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. And no one's going to disturb this kirtan. So everybody, especially one can imagine, it was the women who were quiet. But, you don't have to cry for people to know that you're upset about something. There's other ways it's communicated. And of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, wasn't difficult for him to know. So he said, there's something wrong here, some calamity happened. And then he says, why didn't you tell me? Why did you hide it from me? So this is the relationship of love between the Lord and his devotees. The devotees are trying to please the Lord, and the Lord is trying to please them. Devotees would think, we don't want to disturb the Lord, and the Lord is thinking, but I want to serve my devotees. So then he went to where the boy was, and he said, why have you left? Of course, this reminds us very much of the story of the son of Chitraketu who died, and where Narad Muni and Parvati Muni came and also said to the boy, why have you left? Although the dead body was lying there, they said to the dead body, why have you left? So Mahaprabhu also said to the dead body, why have you left? And then the soul re-entered that body and said, started speaking philosophy. Again, this reminds us very much of the story in the Bhagavad Gita, very similar. And he said, I was living here as long as I was destined to live here. Now that the time is over, I'm going elsewhere according to your direction. I am your eternal servant, a dependent living being. I must act only according to your desire. Beyond your desire, I cannot do anything. I have no such power. So then everybody could understand that the son is a soul different from his body, and that he's simply traveling to another body. And therefore, they all experienced peace. So Srivast Thakur and all the family and all the relatives, they had a sense of. We can also see that even when difficult things happen in our life, that ultimately everything is happening by the will of the Lord. And even one of the most difficult things, death,
that there really isn't any such thing as death. The soul doesn't die. So this reminds me of a very famous story, true story, of one Jewish rabbi who had two very learned and capable sons. And once when he was out teaching at school, both of his sons died. And when he came home, his wife said to him, "My dear husband," this is a true story, she said, "My dear husband, some time ago a wealthy merchant was traveling through town, and he asked me to keep some jewels of his safely until he returned. And today he's come and asked for them back. What should I do?" And the husband said, "Well, you must give them back." Now, of course, when we voluntarily accept the will of the Lord in joyfulness and in peacefulness, then we get far more than we give. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, "Lord Nityananda and I, we will be your sons." So Srila Prabhupada talks about this, how materially our relationships will definitely be broken, at least by death, if not by some other means. There's no question, absolutely, definitely, 100%, our material relationships will be broken. But our relationship with Krishna is never broken. Prabhupada says, "Make Krishna your husband, make Krishna your son, make Krishna your everything." Right? Janaka janani daita tanai prabhu bhati timu sarvabhai. Krishna is prepared to be everything, and he will not leave you, and he will be the perfect everything. And he's just waiting to be asked. Okay, we're not getting into this in depth. But one time Lord Chaitanya said to Sri Vasa Thakur, "Give me my flute." And Sri Vasa Thakur said, "All the gopis have stolen your flute." And the Lord Chaitanya said, tell me more. And Sri Vasa Thakur started describing the whole day of the Lord, all the different pastimes that Lord Krishna has with his different associates, how he's getting up in the morning and Mother Yasoda's feeding him and he's taking care of the cows and he's going to the forest. And then he's going to play with the gopis, and then he's playing with the cowherd boys and the cows again. He comes home and milks the cows and so forth and so on. And they were discussing like this all through the day and the night. So this is one way that we can satisfy the Lord, is talking about his pastimes and activities. And this way he becomes very, very happy. And then he gives the devotee, who gives him such happiness, all satisfaction. So one day Lord Chaitanya, when he was visiting Sri Vasa Thakur, he said, "Please say the 1,000 names of Lord Vishnu." So Sri Vasa Thakur starts chanting them. And of course, among those names is the name of Nrisimhadev. And Lord Chaitanya heard the name of Nrisimhadev. He became very, very thoughtful. Then he actually had the mood of Lord Nrisimhadev, and he picked up a club, maybe it was just some stick that he found, and he started running through the streets roaring, and everybody became terrified. We all started running away from him. So then Mahaprabhu came back to his awareness of his mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He came back to Sri Vasa Thakur's house. He threw the club away and he said, "It's offense to make people afraid. So I stopped doing that." So this is also a very important instruction, that as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that we should not be a cause of difficulty or anxiety for any other living being. And of course, sometimes we are, inevitably. And we have to cause some anxiety to our children and our students and our employees and so forth. Because it's part of our job. But generally, we should not cause any anxiety to any other living being. And Sri Vasa Thakur is so wonderful how he satisfies the Lord in his reply here. He says that just by taking your name, all offenses are gone. So actually, anyone who saw you in that mood of Nrisimhadev, instead of it being an offense to them, actually they were liberated. And then Lord Chaitanya was very happy. You have to remember the Lord is a person. It's
So he's having these personal dealings with his devotees. So who else has this understanding of God? Right? That God comes to his devotee and says, oh, I committed an offense. I made people afraid. And his devotee says, no, you cannot commit any offense. Just by hearing about you, everyone becomes liberated. And the Lord says, oh, very nice. Thank you. Of course, such things are in the Bible also, but if you ask the religious leaders, that they won't be able to explain it because they don't really understand how God is personal. Okay, this is also another very interesting story about Devananda Pandit. So Devananda Pandit was preaching on the Bhagavatam, but he was preaching on the Bhagavatam in an impersonalistic way. He was explaining the Bhagavatam to say that God has no form. Now, first thing that's interesting here is that Srivas Thakur was in this class, and just by hearing the Bhagavatam, he started to cry in ecstasy, even though it was being explained impersonally. So that's pretty interesting. Now, when he started crying in ecstasy, the followers of Devananda Pandit said, oh, this person's causing disturbance. So they threw him out. And Devananda Pandit was silent. He didn't object. So when Lord Chaitanya met him later, he chastised him. He said, you've committed an offense to Srivas Thakur, and you're committing an offense to the Bhagavatam by explaining it impersonally. But Devananda Pandit, just like he didn't have much respect for Srivas Thakur, he didn't have much respect for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu either. But interestingly enough, another devotee, Bhikeshwara Pandit, was able to kindle Devananda's faith in Lord Chaitanya and in the Bhagavatam. Isn't that interesting? He couldn't get that faith from God himself or from Srivas Thakur, but he was able to get that faith from Bhikeshwara Pandit. So sometimes it happens that a person will respond well to one teacher and not to another. Now, sometimes we're the right person to help somebody, and sometimes we're not the right person to help somebody. And it takes some humility and honesty to say, wait a minute, I'm not really the one who can help this person. Better that they go. Maybe this other person would be more appropriate. And anyway, then Devananda began to explain Bhagavatam properly, and he rectified his relationship with Srivas Thakur. Okay, now this is another fascinating... Actually, we can talk about each of these stories for like a week because they're just so interesting. I had so much fun putting this presentation together. So this is one about the Yatra, and I really wish that I had the money to pay an artist to make pictures just for this presentation. That would actually go with the story. So I had to get things that sort of kind of went. So this was at the Rath Yatra. So here Mahaprabhu is dancing in seven groups, and he's dancing in seven groups simultaneously, and only a few devotees can see that Lord Chaitanya is in all seven groups. And one of them was the king, King Prajaruja. So King Prajaruja is just... Can you imagine watching God dancing? Watching Krishna in the mood of Radharani, dancing in the Rath Yatra for Lord Jagannath, meditating on bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. What kind of dancing would that be? So the king was absorbed, and Srivas Thakur was also absorbed, and because Srivas Thakur was also absorbed, he was standing in front of the king. He was partially blocking the view of the king. So another devotee, Harichandra, thought, well, this is the king. You know, I don't know if we still feel so respectful towards our government, but at least in those days, people had the idea that you should respect the government. So Harichandra felt, you know, Srivas Thakur, he should step aside for the king. There's different kinds of superior and inferior. Just like Srila Prabhupada would show respect to someone who's older than him. So although Srivas Thakur was, you know, one of the Panchatattva, intimate devotee of Lord Chaitanya, the leader among all the devotees, still, Harichandra felt he should move aside for the king, and Harichandra's being very polite, and he's just touching him, you know. You know, Srivas Thakur is in ecstasy, and he's just, wow, look at what she did. And then he's just like, Why is somebody poking me? So, like, if someone's just poking you again and again, so he just, like, went away. What are you doing? You know, we might think, wait a minute, I thought this kind of thing doesn't happen among pure devotees. I thought all pure devotees are just supposed to be like, no, they're real people. They have real activities and they have real interactions. But they don't have envy or malice. And all of their interactions are blissful. So now Arjuna became upset. You know, I'm trying to get... Does this happen? Does this happen among the devotees? This kind of thing? Yes? Yeah, it does. Okay? But we shouldn't be so surprised that this now Arjuna becomes, what are you hitting me for? And he's just about to say something to Srivas Thakur, and he's just about to really start a whole fight. And then Marj Prabhupada, who saw the whole thing because it's happening in front of him, he stops Arjuna. And he says, you're very lucky that Srivas Thakur has touched you with his hand. So it was a nice purport where Prabhupada talks about when Indra is stealing the sacrificial horse from Arj Prithu, both of whom are devotees. I mean, Prithu is a subjugation avatar. And yet there was some difficulty, ill feelings between them. And Prabhupada said the demons, they go on fighting forever, but the devotees, they very quickly adjust everything through repentance and forgiveness. So there's going to be such things. Don't think that just because you're chanting Hare Krishna and just because you're with devotees, there's never going to be any misunderstandings and no one's ever going to get upset about anything. If you think that way, you'll be disappointed because that's just not reality. But the question is, how do you deal with those things? So Maharaj Prabhupada just said, see it as a benediction. So I want to thank you very much. I hope you enjoyed this meditation on different activities of Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur ki. Srivas Thakur ki.